I have nothing to disclose about this. If I had, I wouldn't disclose either anyway. So, what I'm going to try to do today is, given the limitations of time, I was expecting to have about 15 minutes or so, is to focus more on a few of the methods that we use in this project called Collaboration for Better Work Environment for Brazilians in Massachusetts, which was a project which aimed to create a partnership with a health clinic, a nonprofit organization called Massachusetts Coalition for Occupational Safety and Health, the university, and the government. We ended up with many more partnerships than when we started, but it was based on the framework for a request for proposal from the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences called Partnerships for Communication. So I, as a principal investigator for this project, took advantage of the opportunity that the grant gave me to build a lot of the dreams that I had to create possibilities for participation of Brazilians, the Brazilian community and Brazilian workers in many different ways. So my initial point is that if you want to do CBPR, you have to think about a lot of methods that we should use throughout the project, not one or two, but many. And what I tried to do is, from the beginning, we wanted to get information from workers about what their life was all about, not only about the hazards, but what were their realities. Because although I am Brazilian and I speak the same language, I realize, and that's something that probably all of us would face when you deal with different communities in the U.S., all over the world, that in this case, they were immigrants. They're not only Brazilians, they were immigrants. And there was something about being immigrant, although I am also an immigrant, that was very important for me to figure out and to realize. So what we decided to do, instead of calling what we did focus groups, which I am particularly critical about the idea that the group have to have focus, in which case the focus is determined by the questions that you design for the group, I decided to do a group without that much focus, and we call this cultural conversations. Based on a tradition that, if you are from the culture, you understand Brazilians love to talk and to have conversations and to tell stories. So I realized that even in the literature, when I looked, we are very poor in terms of documenting the science of conversations amongst people, among interviewers and the relationships that happen. So we created, by coincidence almost, it was not our I was very focused on the idea of the culture of the Brazilian immigrant. We wanted to have conversations, and of course we had questions, but the idea was the focus would be let the participants talk. You ask a question, if the answers to the questions take you somewhere else that you're not expecting, go with them, which is what Paulo Freire always said. I always believed in this. You don't determine the conversation because you are the one who asks the question. The people who actually have the power to guide the conversation are those who answer. So if you're really a good interviewer, let them tell you where they want to go. So it's a free-flowing. Of course, we had our main points we wanted to talk about. So what we try to do is we have some unstructured group interviews and what we call listening sessions, the part of the interview where you actually listen to what people say. And amazingly so, I can still remember some of the things that people told me 5 years ago in that conversation. Why am I able to remember that? Because I actually paid attention to what people were talking, not only myself, there were a group of us, but also because there was engagement. There was talk back and forth, and then when you do conversations like that, you never forget. So there was the issue of asking the question and listening to what people were talking about. So we did six, about hour and a half conversations like that. They were about 5 to 7 Brazilian immigrants in each. And what we tried to do is determine by the different trades or different occupations what people thought about their work. So we have with painters, because we have a lot of painters in Massachusetts that are Brazilians. We have with food and restaurant folks who work in maybe mostly in the back of the house, as we say, in restaurants. We wanted to know the perspectives of youth about immigration work. House cleaners, which is the most common jobs for females. And we also involved, had construction contractors and landscapers involved in the discussion. That was the one that I'll never forget. For example, just to give you an idea, Brazilians come to the U.S., they were never painters before, and then we had this conversation, you know, how do they get the job? And this guy told me, well, all Brazilians, when they come here, they say they are painters. But by the way they handle the brush, I can tell if they were painters or not. So it, that told me right from the off the bat that most folks are looking for a job. And of course, because they were not painters, they didn't know lead, for example. They didn't know. It tells you a lot when you ask questions like that. Another discussion that we had before that was very important that we found out, where people said they came here to work and they would work in this same discussion. I'll never forget. If people offer me work for 18 hours a day, I will work 18 hours a day. And then I said, but how come? How are you going to take care of yourselves? We said. And he said, well, it depends. If I stay in the U.S. for about 5 years, maybe after 5 years, I'm going to stop doing that. Which to me, to us, indicated, well, there is a time frame where folks consider, you know, if I stay beyond a certain time, I cannot do that kind of stuff. Other information they provided was, would you work like that in Brazil? They said, never, are you crazy? I said, well, you're saying work that much here, why you do it? Because they said, we came here to make money fast and go back as soon as we could. So a lot of information about the culture of the so-called Brazilian immigrant, we told me, they are not only Brazilians, they are Brazilians who came here for a short period of time to make a lot of money, and somebody said, I'll do whatever. 24 hours a day, 18 hours. I'll never forget that, because it told me a whole lot about their perspective about health and safety. So we transcribed that with this in vivo software just to get the main themes of these cultural conversations. A second method that we use later on was, because of this background that I had on Paulo Freire, the other one that many people don't know but is as highly visible in this area in Brazil is Augusto Boal, who is a famous creator of the theater of the oppressed. Brazil had a period in time where we had a lot of people, artists and intellectuals, created this idea of popular education, popular theater, popular science. I'm not part of their generation, but I learned from them. So the other idea that I found out here was this idea of giving cameras to people so that they can take pictures of what they consider to be the major hazards in the workplace. So as they engage in groups, this is a definition of what the so-called method photo voice is. It's voice through photos. It had never been done with immigrants the way we intended to do, so let's experiment. And we ended up, through the process, by the way, what I actually did as a PI is I told folks, you want to do it, go ahead and do it. And they did it. There were, in my staff, there were people who were actually very committed to doing that. So what they did was they took the pictures, and then they figured out, how are we going to display the pictures now? So we all know there's this idea of the quilts, which is not really a tradition in Brazil, but then they did some research and they found out, yes, in some parts of Brazil, the quilts are actually part of the tradition. So they created this photo voice where they have the pictures on top, and below they created these pockets here. And what they did was, the workers would say, these are the questions to the picture, and if you want the answers, you get the answers in a plasticized pocket. Because they didn't want to just have the answer there. They want people to go and say, what's going on here? And these are not very hazardous jobs. These are not folks, you know, working petrochemical plants. These are not folks wanting so-called high hazardous jobs, but they did find several hazards with chemicals, with the way housekeeping in some places, or cuts and burns in restaurants. These are very relevant to their day-to-day work. And what we did was, this photo voice was displayed in many events. This is actually the Brazilian festival we have every year in Massachusetts, and we have this display there. Then we made connections with an OSHA inspector who used this to train other immigrants, because she liked the idea of using these methods. As you know, OSHA was not, it's trying to become more popular, more friendly to workers, and when they do these trainings, and she used this and said it was very successful with other immigrant groups too. So the photos allowed a group of Brazilian immigrants to discuss with this OSHA inspector, which actually happened. The inspector came, and through the photos, she was able to tell them what they were not seeing, because Brazilians were not aware of the regulations. So they would say, this is what I see as a hazard. And she would say, look, but there's this, there's that. And there was a very interesting dialogue, which in this case was very important for the workers, for the inspector, because, you know, these are mostly undocumented workers. There was this issue, how can the workers negotiate and talk to an OSHA inspector? And she did this in a kind of off-the-records, not official relationship. And they had amazing dialogues that took several weeks in a row about these issues. And then the quilt, as you saw, was a practical way to keep the photos together. So they developed questions about the photos that were answered in plasticized cars that I mentioned before. And this is the process of building. These are two of the staff that put those together. The workers gave the cameras, and they were trying to figure out how we're going to put those photos together. And then this staff of mine, who actually went back to Brazil, said, well, why don't we make this a display? And then they did some research, and they figured out this would be a good way of doing that. And based on actually the United States culture of having these quilts, especially with African Americans. And then, from the photo voice, this project, as I told you, was like one thing led to another. People started to be creative, and then this group of Brazilians decided to actually do a play, because they said, you know, a play would be a good idea for us to act out our issues. And then what happened was, they could not really finish the play, because their lives would prevent them from actually having enough time to dedicate to the rehearsals. So they were actually almost losing the effort. And then one of the members of this group had some knowledge about movies and filming, so they decided to do a documentary that they call My Dream, Our Reality, which was actually based on the play. So they transformed the play into a DVD, and we spread this across the community. They developed the script based on real life cases. So because in this process, they got a lot of education about hazards, and they started telling us the stories of folks in their own jobs that had issues, that had injuries, and also newspaper reports. They transformed these cases into drama, and this became this video that I didn't decide to show us today for questions of time, but in the past, in other meetings that we had in our network of environmental justice grantees, I showed part of this meeting, this video. And then what we did was we got this video and we went to a lot of different churches to use the video as triggers. And this is the basement of one church in the neighborhood of Boston. And what we used to do is show the video, and then that generated a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion. These mostly, the males were construction workers, the females were house cleaners. And then we started talking about their lives, about why they came to the U.S., how long they were here. And there was a lot of discussion. I don't know exactly how many we did, but it was dozens of them all over the place. I would say probably had hundreds of people participating altogether in those. So this is another method that we also figured out. We had to train workers. It was part of our commitment to provide information for the workers, especially construction workers in this case. And then there was one of our members of our staff who had the experience in the state of Brazil that they're using a clown in a construction site in Brazil to kind of reinforce the messages of the training. And I said, well, that's a good idea. Why don't we use the same idea? I would love to have a clown doing, you know, making fun of the issues that the workers deal with together with them. And we found a comedian in Massachusetts who was also an immigrant who had been a construction worker, and he was very famous at the time. So what we would do is we would have the day-long trainings, and this guy, since he knew what the hazards were, he was very keen to make fun of how the workers reacted to health and safety issues, to issues in the job. So what we ended up doing is, in the training, is a hands-on approach to personal protective equipment, which is nothing new. We have been doing this for decades. All over the place in the U.S. as well. Games, we develop games for workers to participate. We use photos. We use video. So nothing new, but what was interesting, that's my point, is the combination of all of that. Because typically we talk about these methods as one or the other. In this project, we're able to have a lot of them together. And what I consider to be the philosophy of Paulo Freire is you don't use one or two tools. You use many of them according to the different needs and the different situations in your project. So this is a comedian, and what he's doing, he's an immigrant, this is a suitcase, and he's telling his story about immigration, and he would make fun of folks, and they would laugh a lot because the fun was about why you're not going to use a PPE, why you're not, but you come from this area of Brazil, you're going to look like a dumb if you wear this hard hat, and blah, 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 and they loved it. The feedback we got, this guy would stay on the stage for about 20 minutes to half an hour. The workers loved it, and they actually, the feedback we got was it made a lot more sense to them to deal with the issues that all of them would talk to each other, but not necessarily to us, why they would not do what the law says. In this conversation, a lot of these issues transpired, and this guy actually was the perfect guy for the job because he knew what the how they thought about the issue. So it was actually, it was we were very lucky to find him. The other thing that we did is this idea that another faculty at UMass Lowell had used to do what the so-called community breakfast. So I ran with the idea of having a series of breakfasts throughout the project where we would invite people from the media, their pastors and priests here, their leaders of Brazilian community to discuss issues that we knew was very important for Brazilians, such as immigration issues, of course, immigration law. We had one about health in general, not only health in the workplace, health issues affecting the Brazilian community overall. So we tried to incorporate to our project the issues that folks over time were telling us, I will talk about health and safety, but how about this, how about that? Which was what Paulo Freire always said, you don't design the agenda. You include your agenda in the agenda of the people. If people have other concerns, you talk about their concerns, then you talk about your concerns, and they'll be a lot more receptive. We learned that was exactly the case, and because we did that, we made this issue of health and safety in the workplace, fatalities for Brazilian workers, injury, something that a lot more people in the community started to talk about. We listened to what they wanted to talk about, and we also were able to convince them and persuade them to actually spread the message about what the project was all about. And this is another community breakfast. This is a Brazilian restaurant. That one actually was another Brazilian restaurant. And the idea was invite different people. Many of them were leaders in churches or in other projects. And of course, here you have the Catholic priest here. The gentleman that's speaking there was the executive director of the Brazilian Immigrant Center, the major partner for the project. And we evolved the themes according to the development of what was going on in the community. Some of them were about politics, were about power for Brazilians, were about elections. So we covered the range of issues that the project allowed, as well as the health and safety part of it. And we ended up having a radio show from the beginning of the project. So I'm giving you some of the tools, but actually I do not have time to tell you all the tools that we use. I believe what we had was really a toolbox of different tools for different approaches. So this is a radio show that we started at WJL, which is the UMass Lowell Radio. 5 years ago, we started the show. It still exists. It's the only show in Portuguese in the area. And actually, after we started this show, many other shows happen amongst Brazilians now. We have dozens of shows. Many of them are religious shows. But it created a lot of possibilities for us to talk to the community. And this is another thing that, for some reason, scientists don't believe that this is community participation, but we know in the U.S. that it is. A lot of people participate in this. So you actually talk to folks. Folks call in. They find you later. They talk to you. I heard about that subject, this subject. And we try to integrate everything. And beyond that, the other things that ended up happening was a lot of media action happened because of this project, because it became a multimedia project. We did the video, we built a website, we started do TV. Now there are folks that have web TV, and I participate in many of the shows, interviews. And what this project allowed for us ultimately to give voice to the Brazilian community is what I consider to be using all the tools that were available to create a situation where health and safety became part of the conversation. So the main topic for me was not to teach people, is to make sure at some point they would talk about health and safety. And the video is very interesting. At one point, they decided, which of course was not my choice, but they decided the end of the video is about, before you do something dangerous to your health, think. That was the major message for them, because they believe Brazilians don't even think about it. They just go to the job and they do stuff. Just think. And I said, think about what? Why don't you put there the hazard, the standards? They said, no, this is the most important. People have to at least ask the question. So what I believe, and I'm just repeating what happened here, us who come with knowledge and scientific knowledge about this stuff, we have a lot of stuff they want to so-called teach people. But what reality shows is that people have a limitation on what they want to learn. what they want to listen to, and you do not decide for them what they want to listen to or not. It's quite the opposite. So once this dynamic is reversed, it becomes very clear how many possibilities of methods that you have. And I could not tell you others that we had, but all kinds of situations were developed throughout the project. You just tell people, okay, if that's what you're going to do, go ahead and do it. And I believe we now have follow-up. This project ended 2 years ago. The follow-up is we created a cooperative of house cleaners. They create a website. They have a radio show. They have videos. To me, this is what we call the sustainability. The community sustains the methods, the participatory stuff, in a way that no funding needs to fund because they figure out how to do it, and it continues.
That's it. Thank you.